today on The Success Journal. Want to save an extra hour every day and get more done? We share three ways you can do more in less time. And you'll discover how to relax into wealth as we talk to acclaimed author and columnist Alan Cohen.
The path to success is one of ease and passion and delight. Pain is highly overrated as a teaching device. And while we do learn from pain, we also learn from following our passions and enjoying the ride.
Then, what's your inner attitude toward money? Discovering yours can reveal the path to wealth.
People have very strong impressions from either their childhood. In many cases, what happened to their parents and grandparents is kind of imprinted on them.
Plus, college roommates buy a hotel and find the keys to riches. All that coming up today on the Success Journal podcast.
The Success Journal. Inspiring success stories. Informative advice from leading experts. Helpful, practical tips to improve your life, enhance your career, and save you time and money. The Success Journal with Chris Whitting.
Welcome. Here on the Success Journal podcast, we're all about sharing information and inspiration. Tips, ideas, and advice to help you on the path to success in work and in life. And if you've ever wondered if thoughts and attitudes have a lot to do with your potential for success, we've got two interviews today you will find fascinating. You know, we usually end our podcast with a few housekeeping things, but just for a change, here at the beginning, we'll get this out of the way. It's a special request. If you've discovered our podcasts and you're enjoying them, please rate and review us on iTunes. It will make a big difference and only take seconds of your time. And speaking of time, want to save an extra hour every day and still get more done? Here are three easy ways to get more done every day from productivity expert Don Wetmore of the Productivity Institute. First, having a daily plan will make anyone more productive, yet only 20% of people actually do it. Even a simple to-do list can make a big difference. Second, plan to get a lot done. If you only plan one thing to do, it'll take all day to do it. But when you pack your day with tasks, it creates a healthy pressure to be much more productive. And third, clean up your workspace. Studies show that working in a messy work environment will cause you to waste an hour a day being distracted. So organize your desk and get that time back. Well, before we get to our first interview today, how about a Success Journal story? You've probably never heard of a man called Oscar Swiedetsky. If you had, I'm sure you'd remember the name. Oscar specialized in surgical supplies, high-quality stuff you wouldn't find just anywhere. In fact, he had to import some of his best-selling bandages from Europe. But one day, the overseas supplier left him high and dry. So Oscar had to start making those bandages here in the States. Oscar held a contest to come up with a new name for his product. And naturally, a doctor had the winning entry. And it's a name you probably know. That name comes from the bandage's design, all cotton elastic. The first letters of those words spell ACE. The ACE bandage became a top seller, helping Oscar wrap up millions. Have you heard about this free guide you can download that contains a list of top tools to make your business more efficient, secure, and profitable? And best of all, this Ultimate Business Toolbox Guide is now available to you absolutely free. How do you get it? Simply visit freebusinesstoolbox.com to grab your copy while they last. This guide has some of the very same online tools we use every day at Success Journal, and we recommend them. Yeah, we know some sites offer you a special deal on something, but then they stick you in some recurring program or some other deal. Well, this isn't like that. There's no hidden thing to try, because BrightBiz is literally giving away this business toolbox completely free as a means of putting their best foot forward. But this is a limited-time offer, so grab your free guide today and take your business and your income to the next level. Visit freebusinesstoolbox.com. Hey, does the idea of relaxing into wealth sound appealing to you? Imagine letting go of all the stress and worry and instead just welcome wealth into your life and be happy right now. Alan Cohen has written a book about it titled Mr. Everett's Secret, What I Learned from the World's Richest Man. Alan, what's the book all about?
The main theme is that if you look inside yourself for success and you define yourself as wealthy and brilliant right where you are, you stand a stronger chance to bring that forth than if you attempt to import it from the outside world.
There are a lot of books about getting wealthy out there, and it seems like there are probably some nuggets of truth in all of them, I guess, but
sure.
What sets yours apart, would you say?
Defines the path to success as one of ease and passion and delight. I make the point there that pain is highly overrated as a teaching device. And while we do learn from pain, we also learn from following our passion, being true to our visions, and enjoying the ride. So I'm really making a very strong stand to trust our intuition and our impulses and move with them regardless of what's happening around us.
So many people connect money with work and pain, as you mentioned, and things that are hard to achieve, hard to get to. Where does that come from? Where does that belief come from?
Well, you know, it filters down from that old Puritan ethic that says if you work hard and bust your butt at the end of your life, you may get something happy, and if not, you go to heaven and the reward for your suffering is eternal bliss. But I don't believe that. I think that a lot of us labor under the illusions that our parents labored under. And our father or our boss says, you know, it took me 30 years of hard work to get where I am. And so we sort of adopt the model that it's going to take me 30 years of hard work to get where I am. But then you have these other people like Bill Gates and cool people show up at a young age and have a great idea and good things happen. So it doesn't have to be a torture. It can actually be more fun.
Well, we often hear people say, if only I had the money, I would do this, or
right.
I would be this, or I would be someone else, or do
right.
something else. Are they really looking at that the wrong way? I mean, can't they do some of that without all that money?
Well, you know, there was a USA Today CNN poll they took a while back, and they asked successful people, which came first in your life, happiness or success? And they found that 63% of the respondents answered that happiness preceded success. In other words, most people have the cart before the horse. They think if I can just get successful, then I'll be happy. But it's really the people who choose happiness at this point that allows them to find the success coming from that place of wholeness rather than seeking it.
Money is just maybe a symptom of being on the right track in your life.
Exactly. Money is only one small slice of the pie that we call wealth. There's so much more to wealth than money. And if you're just after the money, you're going to hurt yourself in the process. Most people who are successful decided to follow their passion before they had money, and that was the magnet that drew the money to them.
Is there any such thing as having enough money? It seems like even the richest people you talk to are still out trying to make more money. Well, if we had that much money, I'd say, wow, this is all I need.
Exactly.
So is there any end to it?
I had dinner with a very successful helper one night, and we were talking about money, and he said, I have enough money. I don't need any more. And I had never in my life heard anybody say I had enough money. And suddenly I realized that the reason he's successful is because he finds contentment with what he has. And his consciousness and his awareness is so strong that it attracts even more money from that position. So it's kind of a paradox. You have to be happy with what you have before you can have more. But there's another principle that Mr. Everett teaches in the book, and that's called happy and hungry, which means that it's quite possible to enjoy what you have and call it enough, and at the same time strive for more. But the striving is not an anxious, fearful striving. It's a striving just out of the fun and celebration and sense of delight and expansion. So I teach people to be happy and hungry.
We're speaking with Alan H. Cohen, who is the author of Mr. Everett's Secret, What I Learned from the World's Richest Man, and things that Mr. Everett says. The trouble with the rat race is even if you win, you're still a rat. That's
right.
Quoting Lily Tomlin.
Right.
You can't get to heaven by putting other people through hell. And, of course, this one is a great one. Take care of people and life will take care of you.
Yeah.
Is there somebody like this that inspired you to write this book?
my veterinarian, actually, I have to say. My dog was really hurting once. He had actually gotten bit by a big dog, and I took him to this vet, and this guy was just like a worrywart, and he had three or four surgeries, and it wasn't helping him, and I thought, you know, there must be a better way. So I took him to this old vet across the street who was sort of like an old country horse doctor. And the guy walks in, he looks at my dog, and he looks me in the eye, and he says, "Isn't nature wonderful? Your dog's going to be okay." And he just gave him some herbs and touched him and looked at me. And the most amazing thing happened, Chris, that within a few days, everything started getting better, and he didn't need any more surgeries. And the whole point is that this man came from a place of seasoned wisdom that nature is wonderful and things are going to be okay. And he exuded it so deeply and so powerfully that it changed my entire life. And the dog's been great ever since. That was 7 years ago. Hmm. And so I used him as the foundation for this character. And then, as you mentioned, he is a composite of a number of different characters, but that one guy was my original source.
Is this the first time you've really gotten into the whole wealth and money aspect of life?
Yeah, so specifically, because I've been doing workshops for 20, 25 years, and it's fascinating, Chris, that there are two subject matters that are always hot, that always get people's attention. One is money and wealth, and the other is relationships. So I thought, wouldn't it be powerful to take the strongest principles that I have learned about what it takes to live a wealthy life and weave them into a short, fascinating book that's a story as well? So, you know, it really is speaking to people where some of them are hurting and everybody wants to grow.
Hmm. Money is not something that you should really try to chase, that it really gets attracted to you if you're doing the right things and if you're on the right course in your life.
Bravo. That's the whole deal. When I do lectures on the book, I lay out what I call 10 wealth or money magnets. And these are aspects of your life which, if you develop, will automatically draw money, not because you're chasing money, because money chases these magnets.
Alan Cohen, author of many books, including Mr. Everett's Secret. Alan, we enjoyed it. Thanks and much success to you.
Thanks, man. Good talking to you.
Still to come on today's Success Journal podcast, what's your inner attitude toward money? Discovering yours can reveal the path to success. Plus, college roommates buy a hotel and find the keys to wealth. If you're looking for world-class website hosting at a fair price, the company we use at Success Journal is Pear Networks. Pear Networks hosts hundreds of thousands of websites, and why do we recommend them? Simply because they set the standard for excellence. They have a technical support staff that's second to none. Their team responds fast, and they always give you straight answers, and that is important. Plus, they have top-of-the-line technology, and that's why Pear Networks offers total reliability for your website with a money-back guarantee. So, whether you're a professional web designer, a busy web marketer, or you're just getting a site online, Pear Networks has a web hosting plan that's right for you. Log on and learn more at Pear.com. That's P-A-I-R.com. Pear Networks. Do you really know your inner attitude toward money? In other words, your mental programming when it comes to dollars and cents? Our next guest says by knowing your money type, you'll be far better at charting a course toward wealth. We welcome to the Success Journal podcast, Jordan Goodman, author of Mastering Your Money Type. Jordan, what gave you the idea for this book?
Well, the idea for Mastering Money came up because I've been doing call-in radio shows and seminars and being with people for many, many years, helping them understand financial decisions they make and how to make better financial decisions. And I kept finding that people were making the same decision over and over and didn't really understand why they were doing that. And so I said, well, there must be some kind of psychological underpinnings for people's financial personalities. And if I can look into that and I can help people understand what their financial personality is, I can then help them go forward and make some better financial decisions and not have to keep repeating the same patterns over and over. So I looked into it and spent a lot of time with this, talked to a lot of people, psychologists, and then ended up coming up with 6 different money types that I kind of categorized people, telling them how they got to where they are today and then what they should do better going forward.
When you figure out what type you are, you're not locked into that for life. You can learn from knowing what you are then.
You can learn, although I find that it's pretty deep. People have very strong impressions from either their childhood. In many cases, what happened to their parents and grandparents is kind of imprinted on them, and it's kind of hard to get rid of your money type completely. And I'm not saying you need to get rid of your money type. Basically, I'm saying what you want to do is work within your money type and make the most of it, not try to disavow it and say, what's a better money type? None of them are good or bad. They just kind of are.
Now, we're going to get into that in a second. But just to illustrate this, what would be something that maybe a child would hear that would maybe imprint them a certain way?
Well, say they had parents who went through the Depression and their grandfather, you know, lost their business or lost their farm or lost their house in the Depression. That teaches you to hold on to things very tightly and really be worried about loss and kind of being run by fear. Mm-hmm. And so that was passed on from the grandparents to the parents who might have gone through World War II and are scrimping and rationing and so on. And they're just very, very tight and concerned about holding on to their money. They really don't want to take any risk because they may lose something. So these, one of my money types is what I call the squirrels, are those people who kind of went through the Depression, have that mentality of holding on to things really tightly. They're really, really cheap with their money. They're afraid to take any risk. All their money is in CDs and money market funds because they can't afford to risk it psychologically. Now, the kids may either be squirrels themselves, or they may do the opposite. Say, I don't want to live like my parents and grandparents in fear. I'm going to really go for it. This is America. There's tremendous entrepreneurial possibilities. I'm going to be what I call a high roller, somebody who's going to take lots of risks. It drives my parents crazy, but that's the way I'm going to be. So actually, you can have twins, and one kid can take that experience and be a squirrel, and the other one can be a high roller. So you could come up with the same upbringing and actually have different reactions to it.
Okay, so that's two of the six money types. Could you talk about some of the other ones?
Sure. There are the strivers. Now, strivers are people who are also entrepreneurial, working very, very hard to make things work well. In many cases, their problem is they're spending more money than, in fact, they're earning right now. And they're always trying to look good, kind of keep up with the Joneses. So, for example, recently you've seen a lot of people buy homes they really couldn't afford. They're stretching as much as they can to get this beautiful home, but they have no money to furnish it. So they're kind of living on futons, you know, for the next 5 years or something. But it looks good to people, I guess. They have nice cars and nice clothes, and they take good vacations. But they're always living at that next level before they've actually gotten there. That's kind of the striver mentality. People are unrealistic about their income and expenses. They overestimate their income, and they underestimate their expenses, and they make up the difference with debt. And that's what's happened on a national basis. We have gone to a negative savings rate, meaning we are actually spending more than we're making as a country. Now, there's certain people that are saving a lot, you know, the squirrels we talked about, and some people that are borrowing a lot and digging themselves deeper and deeper into a hole. They're one of my other money types, which is what I call the debt desperados. And the strivers would be somewhere in between, although kind of moving towards the debt desperado side of things, because they, in many cases, are spending more than they are taking in.
Now, Jordan, you've talked about strivers, debt desperados, high rollers, and squirrels. I guess there are two more money types to talk about.
That's right. There's the ostriches. Now, the ostriches are the people that really don't like to deal with money at all. You know those types. It's like, well, money is either beneath them or above them. It's beneath them. It's like, well, others deal with money for me. It's not something I want to dirty my hands with. I'm an artiste, you know, that kind of thing. My accountant does my money for me. Well, they're very vulnerable to not really knowing what's going on with their money if they do it that way. Or the other way, the other kind of ostrich, is money's too complicated. I don't really understand it. I never learned about this in school. It's too confusing to figure out what to do with my 401k. I don't really like looking at my bills. I haven't seen my credit report in 15 years. It's too complicated, so I just won't deal with it at all. So you can have either of those kinds of ostriches, but the problem with that is while your head's in the sand, all these financial decisions still have to be made. And if you don't make them, they're going to be made for you, in many cases in bad ways. Your credit report's going to go down. Your investments won't be really doing very well. Bills aren't being paid. All these things kind of happen, and you're not really concentrating on it. So you've got to be careful about watching these things. That's an ostrich. There's a super ostrich, by the way, which is what I call the person with white knight syndrome. And that's somebody who knows their finances are a total mess, but this one lottery ticket will save everything. You know,
okay.
If I go to Las Vegas today, I'm going to solve it all with this one roll of the dice, and that'll kind of solve all my problems, because otherwise, if I don't make a huge amount of money quickly, it'll never go away.
Yeah, I think there may be quite a few people like that.
Absolutely.
The last one is coasters. What are those folks?
Coasters is actually the largest part of the population, I would say. Coasters are people who pretty much have grown up with affluence. Things seem to be pretty good. Their biggest problem is complacency. As children, they were given everything, so they didn't really have to worry about it. They've got a stable job. Everything seems to be just coasting along just fine. The problem with coasters is they keep running into brick walls because they're coming at them, and they say, well, I'll deal with it later. So the kid is just turning 17. You know, honey, I think it's time we start saving for college, don't you think? You know, or we really should start putting a down payment together for the house that we're closing on next week, don't you think? Or I'm turning 62. Yeah, I think it's time to put something away for retirement. You know, they're always waiting and waiting and waiting, and by the time they need the money, nothing's been accumulated for them. So that sense of complacency, in many cases, can get them into real trouble. For example, coasters typically don't have enough insurance because they think nothing will ever go wrong with them. But in fact, they should have enough life insurance. They should have enough health insurance and property casualty and all these kind of things that in many cases they just don't worry about. So it's similar to high rollers. Coasters are very optimistic and usually too optimistic, and therefore things don't get taken care of.
Now, I have to ask you, as the money answers man, Jordan, which of these six types are you?
I'm definitely a high roller.
Really? Okay.
I'm willing to take risk, absolutely, in investing, in entrepreneurial risk, in real estate. And they've worked out well. And not everyone's going to work out well. The problem for a high roller is not having a safety net. And I don't put all on one color or all on one stock. But indeed, I am willing to take risks, knowing that they're not all going to work out. And that's worked out quite well in my life.
Now, if I'm a parent listening to this and I want to pass on to my kids a healthy attitude toward money, what would you recommend?
Well, learn about all these things. Figure out what influences have been on you as a parent and maybe from your parents, the grandparents of the kids, and see if you want to pass those on or if you want to do something a little bit different. If you are very tight with money and you're kind of squirrely in certain ways, is that something you want your kid to model or not? Because you are modeling every day what your kid's learning. Now, they may, as we've said before, do the same thing, or they may react against you and do the exact opposite. But have a little bit more control over it as opposed to just kind of letting it happen. And the other thing, by the way, is with your spouse. I mean, a lot of people have no idea who they're marrying money type-wise. And there's some pretty devastating combinations. If you get a debt desperado together with a squirrel, for example, you've got somebody that loves debt and doesn't worry about it at all, and somebody who just abhors debt. And that can cause quite a bit of friction within a relationship.
Yeah, it sure can.
If you have two of the same, by the way, that's also interesting, too. Two squirrels and two debt desperados could go the opposite direction.
It can be extreme, then. So the book is Master Your Money Type, Using Your Financial Personality to Create a Life of Wealth and Freedom. Jordan E. Goodman is the author. And again, your website, Jordan?
Is moneyanswers.com, and glad to take emails there as well, and hope people can figure out their money types and do better with their money.
Terrific.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Time now for a Success Journal story about two men who make plenty of money with reservations. Bob and Ernie were college roommates who dreamed of making it rich. Deciding to team up, they put their dough together and started looking for where to invest it. Somebody told them commercial real estate was a moneymaker, so they bought a small hotel, fixed it up, and promoted the place. Cash started to flow, so they bought another hotel, and then another. They weren't afraid to try some new ideas, like the world's first toll-free reservations line. Their chain soon spanned the nation, and then the world. I'm sure you know the hotel chain founded by Bob Moore and Ernie Henderson. Maybe you've even stayed there. It's called Sheraton. Today, the Sheraton hotel chain earns billions. They found the keys to riches. Well, that's it for this week's edition of the Success Journal podcast. Please tell a friend about us. Thanks for listening. I'm Chris Whitting, wishing you a very successful day.